share a little bit about baptism, then I'm going to shift a little bit and then share concerning faith and what God wants to do with us here in Prince Edward Island. But I need to share a few minutes on baptism because we're having a baptismal service fairly soon, so we want to make sure that we have some teaching concerning baptism. And we always want to hear, or pardon me, get the ear of God, most so, especially when we pray. And sometimes we don't pray unless we really need something desperately. And we want to really hear God. We want to get his ear, and we want to get his full attention. We want to be like the businessman who needed $1 million for something, and he was about to make a deal, and he needed $1 million, and so he went into this church, and there was one person there, and he was praying, and he just knelt down by him, and he heard the other person say, "Lord, I need $100. I really need $100 really bad." And the millionaire's thinking, "Man, I need $1 million. He needs $100. So he turned to the guy, and he said, he took out $100, and he gave it to him. And the guy said, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much." And he left. And the millionaire knelt down again and he says, "Now, Lord, now that I have your full attention, I need $1 million. He was convinced that the Lord couldn't handle the $100 and $1 million requests at the same time. And sometimes we're like that. We think that we don't have the attention of God, but as believers, we know that he always hears us. He always cares about us. He always knows when his children come to him in faith. And when we come to the area of baptism, when we come to believing God for something to take place in the area of baptism, we're coming in faith as well. I want to look at a few scriptures concerning baptism in Acts chapter 4, 37. And I want to establish by these scriptures, I want to establish in us the tradition, I wouldn't say tradition, but the process of salvation that is taught to us during the book of Acts, in the book of Acts. And I say a process of salvation because, you know, there's the beginning when we step out and confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and say, "God, we want you more than anything else." And that's the beginning of the fullness of walking in to the salvation of Christ. Acts 4:37 says, "Now when they heard this, when they heard Peter preaching, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" So here Peter is saying that the next step, you're to repent. Number one, repent. Turn away from your sins and stop doing your sins. Turn away and go another direction. And then the next step is to be baptized. You know, repentance and baptism seem to be connected here. In Acts chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "But when Philip preached the gospel to the Samaritans, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." Again, these scriptures speak to us about repentance and baptism. It talks about belief and baptism. It speaks to us about taking the step of faith and then going through the waters of baptism to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a symbol stating that we now belong to a king, not of this world, but of the kingdom of God. We have another father, and it is a symbol of this. In Acts 9:18, the Apostle Paul, we know all the story about him, how he was a wild man who was persecuting Christians, but he had an awesome, awesome experience with God, and God knocked him off his horse and did a miraculous thing in him, and he was blind, and then God sent somebody to pray for him so that he might receive his sight. And verse 18 says, "Immediately there fell from Paul's eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." So immediately when the Apostle Paul came to Christ, soon as he could, he was baptized after coming to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So we see the importance and the significance of going through the waters of baptism. I believe every believer should be baptized as a believer. In other words, you are cognitive of the message of salvation, and you then go through the waters of salvation or waters of baptism because you have made a decision. Somebody else can't make that decision for you. Only you can make the decision for Christ. Faith unites us to Christ, but baptism symbolizes the union. Baptism symbolizes the union. You know, when people come to the altar to be married, when they come to before God's people and before the people of the land and they come to be married, they make certain vows to one another, and they'll take a ring and say, "With this ring I thee wed." Well, the ring itself doesn't do anything, but it is a symbol of the covenant vows that are being made in the covenant of marriage. It's a symbol of a man and woman giving themselves to one another and only them. Well, baptism is a symbol like this, that when you go through the waters of baptism, you're actually going through a symbol, an ordinance declaring that you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. That you are, that God is now your Father, and that you are trusting Him and connected to Him. And this visible sign speaks to about both the natural realm and the spiritual realm. That you make a decision for Jesus and you declare it by going through the waters of baptism. And that is part of our testimony. Going through the waters of our baptism is part of our testimony. Remember over in the book of Revelations, the Bible says that they overcame him, that is the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In other words, their testimony signifies an overcoming of the enemy. And going through the waters of baptism is certainly a symbol that you are connected to the overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So having said that, if you're stirred in your heart to go through the waters of baptism, let me know, because on June 12th, we're going to have a baptismal service here, and they're going to be baptized into the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is so much a family matter that we want to make a big deal out of it, because family is precious. Family is good. Now, baptism speaks to us about faith. You don't go through the waters of baptism without faith. Faith in what? Faith in something's going to happen when I go through the waters of baptism as well. Something's going to establish me in the kingdom of God in a greater way. You believe that going through the waters of baptism, there is going to be a supernatural event take place that is going to change the way you were. Experience a significant change because you have taken this step going through the waters of baptism. Faith will do that for you. Faith will bring us into a realm with God that we cannot experience without walking into a believing His word. Believing. You remember when Jesus went through the waters of baptism? And when He come up out of the water, something happened. The Bible says the skies opened and there was a voice that came from heaven and said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Well, you believe to hear that experience when you come out of those waters of baptism, those who are going through the waters of baptism on June the 12th, I'm believing that you will experience a greater relationship with the Father than you ever have had before. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. He is the door and the way to our Father. There's no other way to the Father except by Him. Praise God. Why would you ever want to look for another way? He's the greatest way. So we want to talk about a little bit about faith this morning. And it certainly, that's included, as I said, in the waters of baptism. Just want to make a couple of statements here. When it comes to faith, one statement I've seen recently is, you don't have to see the whole staircase in order to take the first step. When you're going up a staircase, you don't have to see the top of the staircase in order to take the first step. You can just start walking. And that's the way faith is a lot of times. You don't see the end necessarily, but you can start out in faith of where you feel that you're supposed to go and believe that you're going to be led to the right place. Jesus said, "I am the way." Well, you might say, "I don't know about this whole experience about heaven, about hell, about everything that's happening. I don't really know all that." But if you'll take a step of faith and get on the way, you'll arrive to where you're supposed to be. What do I mean by that? If you take a step of faith and say, "Jesus, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to make you my Lord." Well, long as we're on the way, long as we're going with Jesus, we'll have our destined end accomplished. In other words, we will reach the destiny that God has for us. Praise God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe. To see what we believe. This is an important statement. I love the way that is put down, because we're going to talk about some things that is going to challenge us this morning to believe some things that we cannot see. That's what faith is all about. Martin Luther said, God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. And I believe he did that. I believe God did that because in Hebrews it says, without faith it's impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to please the Father. So he wants us to know about faith. He wants us to understand some things about faith, because he wants us to please him, and we want to please him. So we have to know some things about faith. Now, what does that mean when it comes to where we live? What does that mean when it comes to Prince Edward Island? What does it mean when it comes to living in this little island, in this little portion of the nation of Canada? I want to talk about that a little bit. There are lots of things been said about Prince Edward Island, and one of the things that really hasn't been said is that the island is absolutely full of prosperity. That hasn't been declared too much at all. But we're going to talk about how to release faith so that we can believe that Prince Edward Island is actually a very prosperous place. But let's go take a little history on Prince Edward Island just for a moment. It's important to know a little bit about the island that we live in, the place that we live in, because the Bible says that, in the book of Acts, it says that we've been called. God has set the boundaries for where we live. God has set the place where we live so that we might seek his face. So he's put us in a place so it would be the best possible place we could be in order to seek the face of the Lord. He wants us to be drawn to him. And so as we are planted here on Prince Edward Island, as God has called us here, then he's also given us a responsibility to believe him for heaven to be released upon our island. So PEI was known to its earliest settlers, the Mi'kmaq, as Abiquit. In other words, the name Abiquit was placed over this little island originally. And the Abiquit means cradle in the waves. Isn't that a beautiful name for this little place when you think of where it's set in the ocean around us, and we have waves around us, and it just seems that many times it is cradled in the waves when we hear about so many other places that have such devastation, but yet Prince Edward Island has relatively been very, very blessed with the lack of disasters, tornadoes, and so forth. We really are a blessed people living in this little place. It was described by Jack Cartier in 1534 as the fairest land that may possibly be seen. Amen. He must have been here in the summertime. I mean, and we all realize that if he was here in the summertime, we all realize why he would say that. Because many of us have been to many places around the world, and we realize that, wow, in the summertime, I don't think there is any place that's more beautiful. I've heard people who, I remember Bishop Hammond's wife, she'd gone to be with the Lord now, but they traveled all over the world, many, many places, and she made the statement that she'd never seen such a beautiful place as Prince Edward Island. So we are living in an awesome place. Prince Edward Island is Canada's smallest province, making up just 0.1% of Canada's total land. That's pretty tiny, isn't it? The total, well, let me just say, when we think about the smallness of Prince Edward Island, we often think about insignificance. That's the way the world would think about it. But that's not the way things are thought of in the realm of the Spirit. The Bible tells us to despise not small beginnings. Despise not the little things, because God can do much with little things. With little in God's hand, it becomes much. And so we never want to take this attitude of inferiority, that we are insignificant. And we'll see that we're very significant as we look at a little bit about the history or the makeup of Prince Edward Island. And we can expect things to shift and change, even the economy in Prince Edward Island. Now, we just want to mention a couple of things that have happened and have increased, because often we don't hear about these things. We just hear about the negative, jobs lost and so forth. But even in one of the major industries here in Prince Edward Island, in the fishing industry, the total value of fish landings increased by 37% from 2009 to 2012, from 124 million to about 170 million. That's quite a significant increase on our little island. So things are happening on Prince Edward Island. There's things that are becoming more prosperous, whether we see it or not. You know, a lot of times we think things are not increasing and not becoming more prosperous because we're often have the attitude that we never have enough. We can always have more. And rather than celebrate what we do have and the increase that does come, we think about what we don't have. But we have much. We have much to be thankful for. Total farm cash crops receipts in 2012 were $467 million, representing an increase of 26% since 2002. So things are increasing on Prince Edward Island. Finances are increasing. PEI population only represents 0.4% of the Canadian total. Again, that's a very, very small population. 0.4% of all the people in Canada live on Prince Edward Island. Yet, Prince Edward Island has considerable power in the Canadian government. And listen to this. I think I put this on an overhead. PEI, 36,464 people have one member of parliament in Canada. Now, the closest to that is Newfoundland, has the next closest to that. They have 74,000 people, just about around, almost 73,000 people per every member of parliament. Alberta has 111,000 people for every member of parliament. So you'll notice that proportionally, PEI has 2+3% more time, 2+3 times as much influence in Ottawa than any other province in the nation. That's considerable influence. Why is that? Why would a little place like Prince Edward Island, who has 0.4% of the population of Canada, have as much as 2 and 3 times as much influence in the government than any other place? That's worth praying about and asking God. You know, if we're serious about God, what's your destiny for Prince Edward Island? Then we have to ask the question. Why do we, in the natural even, do we have so much influence in the nation of Canada? If we'll realize that, we will also realize that, okay, we have a responsibility not only for Prince Edward Island, but also for the nation of Canada as well. As I said, Prince Edward Island is not known for its abundance, an abundant prosperity, but good things are happening here. Prince Edward Island in 1864 became the birthplace of Confederation, the birthplace of the nation of Canada. Now that speaks to me of a seed that was sown on Prince Edward Island. It's a seed that has actually come forth and produced the nation of Canada itself. Now in 1864, there were some people who came here to Prince Edward Island who had faith to see a nation being born. Had faith that could be a seed planted here on Prince Edward Island, that a nation could be born from sea to sea. Now, I want you to think about this. Now, if they had faith to believe that a nation could be born, somehow, somewhere, that faith came from someplace for these leaders in Upper and Lower Canada to come to the province of Prince Edward Island and talk about a dream for the nation of Canada to be built. In this beginning in the province of Prince Edward Island, this little island, if that seed is resting in this place, do you think that the seed of what you're destined to could be also resurrected and brought to life from this very place where you live, where you're at? You've been birthed here. You've been, maybe you have moved here. You've been called by God to this place. And you know that there's something different about this place, and you can believe God for whatever it is that he's called you to come forth in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you must have faith for it. Now, we can either believe that Prince Edward Island, PEI, stands for poverty every inch, or we can believe God that it stands for prosperity every inch. The decision that we have to make, which one will we believe God for? Which one will we stand in faith for? Which one will we look at and say, that's what I believe God has called this place to? And then begin to declare it out. Begin to speak it forth. Because by faith, these things are released. And as we take our place in faith and declaring the goodness of God over Prince Edward Island, I believe we can expect to see a change. We can expect things to happen. I just want to read a few portions of scripture this morning concerning faith, because really whatever happens to Prince Edward Island is going to depend a lot on the faith of the church on Prince Edward Island. Are we going to choose to believe that Prince Edward Island is a prosperous place? And we might say, well, Pastor, we've been here for a long time. We've been just struggling, and we just can't seem to make a breakthrough. It seems that the opportunities just aren't here. Well, that may be true in the natural, but in the spiritual realm, your faith can have something to do with that. Your faith can decide whether you will be struggling all your life or whether you will begin to see prosperity grow as you begin to take a hold of the things of God by faith. Let's look at Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Jesus was and his disciples were going across the Sea of Galilee, and a great storm came, and they were terrified. And they woke Jesus up, and says that then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" How is it that you have no faith? They believed, those disciples believed on that, while they were on that boat, that there was nothing that they could do in order to get them safely to the other side. And Jesus stood up, rebuked the wind, and immediately looked at them and said, "How is it? Why is it that you have no faith?" To be convinced that you can't do anything about the situation that you're in is a declaration of no faith. If we believe that we can do something about the situation that we're in, then we begin to operate and activate faith within us. But if we are going to be like the disciples who are in that boat and believe that there's nothing that they could possibly do in order to change the situation, then they're acting as people who have no faith. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1. So he got into the boat, talking about Jesus, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on the bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." Notice that he saw their faith. There is a faith that can be seen. What does that mean? What does faith look like that can be seen? Well, it looks like something that you can see. Jesus seen these men that brought this paralytic to him. They were struggling, and they brought him to him. They made a way to him, and he seen that their faith was in action. They were actually involved. They were partnering with what God wanted to do. Jesus wanted that man healed, and so these men were partnering with what God wanted to do and brought him to Jesus. And Jesus said he saw their faith. Their faith was somehow able to be seen. And we could go on and find other scriptures for that, but for the sake of time, we'll just continue to move on. And Jesus said, because of this, he said, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven," and the man was healed. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29, the Bible says that he touched the blind man's eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be to you." So whatever way you believe, let it be to you. If you choose to believe PEI, poverty every inch, let it be according to the way you believe. If you choose to believe PEI, prosperity every inch, let it be according to the way you believe. You see, folks, it's important what we believe. It's important what we make a choice to believe, and faith is a choice. Faith is a choice. We choose what we believe. In other words, I can believe, if I could choose to believe no, that there is no God, and I might be thinking, well, I have a hard time to actually believe that there is no God, but I'm going to make a choice to believe that there is no God. How will I feed that choice? Well, I'll read books by atheists, by renowned atheists who's written all kinds of things, and I'll fill my heart with that, and as I choose to believe that, there'll be a growing on the inside of me of the non-existence of God. You see, I choose to believe that. Now, if I choose to believe God, then I feed myself with things that would identify with that faith. Amen. You don't have to read too far to realize who God is. But it's my choice. It's your choice. We make the choice. Let it be according to your faith. Now, we talked about no faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. Jesus speaking, he was preaching, he said, "Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" O you of little faith. Often when Jesus is speaking to crowds and they're coming to him and they're really coming to him for signs and wonders. They're coming to him to be fed. They're coming to him to have their needs met. And he speaks to them as people of little faith. In other words, they have some faith. At least they know where to go to get their needs met. At least they know to go to the one who can help them. And he called them people of little faith. But then now let's go to Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus heard about a centurion coming to Jesus needing his son being healed. And the centurion said, "Look, I'm not even worthy for you to come into my house, but just say the word. My servant will be healed." And Jesus said, "I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel." He called the faith of this man great faith. So we see here this morning that we've been talking about people of no faith, people of little faith, and people of great faith. And I suspect there's all those three in Prince Edward Island. There's people of no faith. They don't know what to believe. They just think everything happens out of circumstance, and we cannot do anything about it at all. We are people of no faith. We don't have a say in what happens, even when it comes to some of the things that the government does. We don't have a say when it comes to whether we have a good crop, if we're a farmer, whether we have a good crop or not. We don't have any say at all. We don't have a say in whether our business succeeds or not. We're just going to try our hardest and do the best we can and see what happens. That speaks to us of no faith. People of little faith will go to the places where they can hear about faith. At least they have enough to realize that there is something greater than what I'm experiencing. There is something more to be had than what I'm experiencing. These are people of little faith. People of great faith are like the centurion who took the word of Jesus and decided to believe it. And Jesus said, "I have not seen such great faith, not even in Israel." In other words, he said, "This is amazing. Of all the people I've talked to, all these people are part of the nation of Israel that I've been talking to. Even my disciples that have been with me for a while, they have not shown as great a faith as this man." And he took Jesus' word and went home and found that his servant was healed. I forget whether he was a servant or his son, but he was healed, the one he was praying for. Great faith. And you and I get to make the choice. What kind of people are we going to be? Are we going to be people of no faith, little faith, or great faith? And as we learn about faith, we will grow in our expectation. The Bible says that all things are possible to him who believes. Wow, what a statement. All things are possible to him who believes. So I'm believing God for a great, awesome future. I'm believing God for prosperity on Prince Edward Island to grow. I'm believing God that families won't have to be broken up, and that part of them will have to, the husband or the wife will have to leave and go to another province in order to get enough money to survive. I'm believing that families will be able to stay together, and that they'll be able to grow up, and healthy families will come from that. I'm believing for the prosperity of Prince Edward Island, so people will be under the cover of the Lord Jesus Christ. And their families will be healthy. Families will not be torn apart, and that they will not be led by the god of mammon, the god of money. That we'll recognize that all our needs are met according to the riches of God's glory in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. We can believe him and trust in him to see that we are victorious. We must have a triumphant mentality in this little island that we live in. We need to have a revelation of the triumph that we have, of the victorious people that we are, because of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can choose to be a victorious one or a defeated one. I believe victorious is much better. Praise God. I'm believing God for FaithWork Center to be a place that we can even be more resourceful, that we can provide other ministries that are trying to make a difference on Prince Edward Island as well. That people maybe who will start churches in some little small areas of Prince Edward Island where there's no demonstration of the Holy Spirit, that they'll be able to go in there and begin to demonstrate the power of God into these dark places, because they have support, they have financial support, they have spiritual support, they have prayer support to go into these dark places. I'm believing God for a shift, a change in Prince Edward Island, but it won't happen without a change in you, without a change in our belief. God wants to drop on us a spirit of faith. Glory to God. Last Wednesday night, I believe it was, we were praying, and Lorette had this vision of a dove just going around our small circle there. A dove was making circles around us, and then she said all of a sudden she seen that dove fall down amongst us. And we know from the scriptures that the dove will represent the Holy Spirit. And she said whenever that happened, she realized that the Lord was releasing to us a spirit of faith. And the Apostle Paul said, we have the same spirit of faith as the others in the Old Testament who were believing God. We have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. He's talking about the fact that we speak the things that we are believing God for. We all did that when we came into the kingdom of God. When we said, Jesus, come in, save me. I'm a sinner that's going to hell, and I need help. And then we change our confession after we call out to him and we believe that he's heard us. Our confession begins to be changed over a short time, and we say, Jesus, we thank you so much for saving me. Thank you so much for coming into my life. Thank you so much for cleansing me from my sin. Thank you so much I don't have to die and go to hell. Thank you so much that I get to go to heaven. Praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. This is our faith in action. And so when we speak about things, about prosperity, about the prosperity of Prince Edward Island, we begin to speak these things out. We declare that we are a prosperous people here on Prince Edward Island. Prince Edward Island is a prosperous place. It's a beautiful land, and God has his hand of favor upon it. And because I live here, I have the favor of God upon me. I have the prosperity of God resting upon me now in Jesus' name. And when you might think that I'm talking about prosperity merely as financial, listen, if that what comes to your mind initially when you hear the word prosperity, your idea of prosperity is very, very small. There's many more important things that are considered prosperous in other realms rather than just the financial realm. What's it look like in your home? Is your home prosperous? Are you happy in your home? Are your relationships really healthy? Are you caring for one another, loving one another, being honorable to one another? Prosperity every inch. My home has a bunch of inches around it, so every one inch of it is prosperous. Praise God. Glory to Jesus. Stand with me, please.